6. And we've had a couple of lessons, messages already from this particular book. This is message number 3, and thankful for the Lord's leadership. I've mentioned in both of the previous messages from the book of James that this book is extremely practical. In fact, the subject of trials was the subject in which we discovered last week as James gets immediately into that subject. And you find that as we studied there in those verses of Scripture, from verses 2 down through verse number 4. We understood their purpose. We also understood what they produce. And I would say this, the truth of verses 2 through 4 is something that every believer can benefit from. The reality that God has provided us with instruction so that we could understand when we fall into diverse temptations, those trials that would come your way, those trials that would come my way, those trials that we may face corporately as a body, that he says, my brethren, count it all joy. And we say this, that's not natural. That's not my natural response. It's not your natural response when there's a trial. But when we understand what God is doing and we understand that God has a purpose and he's trying to produce something in us, we can rejoice. We can have that joy in the midst of that trial. As we continue reading, and we'll be looking this morning at verses 5 through 8, we find that there's quite a familiar verse within our text this morning. In fact, verse number 5 of James chapter number 1 is a verse of Scripture that's our memory verse for the month of January here. You see it on your calendar. It's been up on the screen, and we're working on memorizing that verse. And many of us have probably already memorized that verse at some point in our lives. And I would say this personally, that the truth of James 1:5 has been a great source of encouragement to me. And the promise and the truth that's contained therein, I would say this to you, that on countless occasions I've approached the Lord on the basis of this truth that we find in James chapter 1 and verse number 5, and I've humbly asked him to give me wisdom, acknowledging that I lack it and I need it. We find that the text of Scripture, beginning in verse number 5 of James 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we find that James, as we've started and looking at these first 8 verses, as we've studied here now for 3 weeks, we find that he starts out by that introduction speaking about being a servant. We talked about, we really just hit it hard on our position as a servant and James understanding that position himself. Of course, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. He is a servant, and what a joy, he is God, but he's a servant. We find that he came to minister, not to be ministered unto, and begin to read through the gospel accounts, and you begin to understand how James would have seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that servanthood. And now he writes, James, a servant, and how we too must acknowledge our position of being a servant of the Most High God, and what a blessed position that is. He deals with the trials that these individuals were facing, and because of the persecution and because of the scattering that arose after Stephen was martyred, we find that these Jewish believers had faced many trials. And we too today, we face many trials. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, and the reality is he gets into this truth of wisdom, we can understand it within the context of the trials and how we need wisdom every day of our lives, but how we need God's wisdom when we're in the midst of a trial. Amen? And it's interesting when we understand the placing of this wonderful truth that is so familiar to many of us within the context there of dealing with trials. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom, simply defined, is the right use or exercise of knowledge. We find that the knowledge and fear of God and sincere and uniform obedience to His command. we would find that James chapter 3, turn there just very quickly, and we're not going to read all of the text. We'll preach through this in a few months, but you find in James 3, in these texts, in verses 13 through 18, again, I'm not going to read all of it, but we find that there's a contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And he says in verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." We find that wisdom is the application of knowledge. If you read the book of Proverbs, you find in the book of Proverbs that God gives us much information with regard to wisdom. And there are some today, when we speak about the subject of wisdom, that they understand that worldly wisdom that James would speak of in the third chapter. But we're speaking about that wisdom that is from above. We're speaking about the wisdom of God. And we have people today that follow the same pattern that we'd find in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we find this morning that the wisdom of God is contained within the Word of God. God has given to us the complete canon of Scripture, and we can rejoice in that. I'm going to read a few verses from Proverbs 1 and then dig right in here to the book of James. And notice in Proverbs chapter number 1, Solomon is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in verse number 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man," notice the description here, "will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." As we look at the text this morning, I've simply entitled the message, "We Lack Wisdom." We lack wisdom. And I hope that as we go through the message this morning, that each of us would truly come to that place in our lives that we acknowledge that we lack wisdom. I need God. You need God. We need God's wisdom. Life is too hard for us on our own. We understand that the Bible teaches us that without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. And I must abide in him. I must understand the importance of walking in the Spirit so that I would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I understand, and I hope this morning that you understand as well, how desperately we need God. If we're going to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to live a life dependent upon the Lord. And we need His wisdom. I don't need the wisdom of the world. I need God's wisdom. And this morning, when we understand, as we look at the text of Scripture, I want you to notice, first of all, with me, there's something to recognize. Something to recognize, and really two thoughts within this idea of what is it that we're to recognize. Number one, we must recognize our lack of wisdom. It says in verse number 5, here in chapter number 1, "If any of you lack wisdom." I would submit to you this morning that every one of us, we lack wisdom. We need God's wisdom. There are things that you will encounter. There are things that I will encounter in life. There are things that may come up tomorrow or this week that we need God's wisdom. But here's the problem. Oftentimes we don't acknowledge, we don't recognize our lack of wisdom. You know what we do? We think we got it. We think we have it all figured out. We think we have the answers for all of the problems that we're going to face. And we think that that we can handle it. And sometimes we get real confident in ourselves, in our own abilities, and we can handle these things. And therefore, we never ask for wisdom because we never acknowledge that we lack wisdom. You're not going to ask for something that you don't acknowledge that you lack. You say, that's deep. No, it's really actually simple. Very simple. If you don't acknowledge, you don't recognize this morning your lack of wisdom, you will never ask God for wisdom. So it's absolutely imperative that we recognize this morning that we lack wisdom. But notice also, not only do we recognize our own lack of wisdom, but we also must recognize God's abundant wisdom. I'm thankful that we serve the all-wise God. I'm thankful that our God, not only does He have all power, but He has all wisdom. We use the word that He is omniscient, that He knows all things, and He has all wisdom. And the Bible says here in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, notice what it says, let him ask of God. And so we find that the instruction that James gives to the recipient, to us this morning as the reader of the book of James as we study this, that I lack wisdom, who am I to go to? I'm going to go to the one who has all wisdom. Let him ask of God. Why? Because God has all wisdom, and so we seek the face of God. I don't seek any other place. I seek God, and I ask Him to give me wisdom. You will never, as I mentioned a moment ago, ask for wisdom if you do not acknowledge your lack of wisdom. In like manner, if you don't recognize that God has all wisdom, you won't ask Him for the wisdom that you need. I understand this morning that our God, He loves us, and our God, He cares about us. I was rejoicing this morning in my personal prayer time of how much God cares about us and how much He loves us and how He desires to equip us and to give us what we need. And as we go through life, and I hope that you can relate this morning to the fact that we lack wisdom, but our God has all wisdom, and He's willing to give it to us. And what a blessed truth that is. We find here that there's something to recognize, but number two, there's something to request. The Bible says, let him ask of God. By the way, aren't you thankful this morning for the direct access of every born-again believer? I don't have to go through any other person. I don't have to do any kind of praying to some priest or some other spiritual leader. No, I have direct access to the throne of God when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Lots of things happened, but one of those things that happened was that the veil was rent in twain. And we find that Hebrews talks about that He's given us a new and living way, this direct access. The book of Hebrews says it this way, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Isn't that wonderful that we have that direct access? If you were to study, and we won't take time to even turn there, but in 1 Peter chapter number 2, we find that there's the position of the believer, the fact that we are understanding the priesthood of the believer, that I can have that direct access. You understand, in the Old Testament, you couldn't just walk into the Holy of Holies. Amen? And by the way, the high priest once a year was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, but he better follow the proper protocol before he entered into the Holy of Holies. But you and I this morning, we have direct access. He says, let him ask of God. What a blessed truth. There's something for us to request this morning. And we find that there's some conditions that are given to us here in the text of Scripture. He says, let him ask of God. We'll look at the rest of verse number 5 in just a moment. But look at verse number 6. It says, but let him ask in faith. What does it mean to ask in faith? It means asking, believing that God is able. Believing that God has all wisdom and that God can give you the wisdom that you need, that He can give me the wisdom that I need. And we ask in faith. It's believing that God is who He said He was, who He said He is. And we find this morning that we ask in faith. And then He says this, nothing wavering. And think about the stability of the individual that has this confidence. They've recognized their own personal need for wisdom, that their lack of wisdom. They've also recognized the fact that the Lord God Almighty has all wisdom, and He's asking God, He's asking in faith, believing, and it says nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. And then He goes on to describe, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We begin to understand other portions of Scripture that talk about that one that would waver. And he says that he that wavereth is like the wind, like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And no doubt many, most of us have seen, we've been to a beach and we've seen those waves that are tossed. And the analogy is there for us. We find that the Scriptures would teach about a tree that just wavers in the wind and just kind of goes back and forth. And God says, nothing wavering gives to us the idea of confidence, that I'm confident that God is going to answer the prayer of faith. See, he says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What man? The one that doesn't ask in faith, the one that's wavering. And then he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let me ask you this morning, what do you really believe about God? What do we really believe about God? Do we really believe this morning that God cares about us as individuals? Do you really believe this morning that God cares about your trial and your problem in your life today? I believe He does. Casting all your care upon Him, why? For He careth for you. Casting your burdens upon the Lord and He will sustain thee. We read over in the book of Psalms and we find this morning that God is very interested in every single one of us as individuals. Many times throughout the gospel records as we read the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that there's multitudes of people gathered. But in the midst of many of those accounts, you find that in the midst of the multitudes, God is always interested in the individual. There was a certain man. There was a certain centurion. There was a lame man. There was a, you find the individual, and I'm thankful that God so loved the world. He loves every single person of the world. He died for every single person of the world, but I'm thankful for the truth that Jesus loves me, and He cares about me. This God that is that globally loves the world, that He's a personal God. And He cares about you. And I believe this morning that He cares about you and the circumstances that you're facing. He cares about me and the situations in which we're dealing with. And He has all wisdom. And He says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that God cares enough about us to give us the wisdom that we need? Asking in faith. Nothing wavering. Having that confidence, I'm thankful that God said, ask. Ask, and you shall receive. Amen? Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We begin to understand that He offers to Jeremiah, call unto me. Wow, what an invitation. Here in James 1, what an invitation that James says to these readers and to us this morning. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God has given to you, He has given to me an open invitation. You know what's amazing? You're never going to trouble God by asking Him for wisdom. It's never going to be a bother to God. You know, when you pray, God's not bothered with your prayers. He's not bothered with you seeking His face. He's not bothered by you entering into His presence. He's not troubled by that. You know what actually troubles God? When you don't ask. When you don't ask. You just try to live life on your own. Just try to do your own thing. Figure it out yourself. And God says, I offered you an invitation. I promised that I would give you. I promised that I would. He said to Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I mean, what a sad reality if Jeremiah understood those words, he understood the invitation that God extended to him, but yet never actually called unto God. But you read the book of Lamentations and you find that Jeremiah specifically deals with the fact that he called and God answered. Hallelujah. We have a God who hears and answers prayer. We have a God who is able, as we read in the book of Ephesians, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we find here this morning that there is something for you, there is something for me to request. When we go through life, when we're facing the trials, when we're going day by day, we must acknowledge, we must recognize that we lack wisdom and that God has all wisdom. And then it leads us to the place of asking God. Let him ask. Many times, we fail to receive wisdom because we simply don't ask. Yes, it's a shame. It's a shame. Because God has given to us plainly this wonderful opportunity and invitation. This morning, the question is this: how often do we make the request? How often in your life? I mean, you examine your own prayer life. I'm not asking you to give an answer verbally, but you just answer in your own heart this morning. How often do you ask God for wisdom? How often? I ask God for wisdom every single day because I know I lack wisdom and I know I need God's wisdom. As a pastor, you know how many times I have people that say, "Can I meet with you?" You know what that does? It drives me to my knees. God, I need wisdom. I don't know what they want to talk about. I don't know what they're going to ask me. God, I don't know, but God, you do. And God, would you give me wisdom? Why? Because I don't want to just give them my opinion. I don't want you to sit in my office or to sit somewhere and we have coffee. And I don't want to just give you the opinion of myself. I want to give you the wisdom that comes from God. Point you to the truth of God's word. And can I tell you, if you have children this morning, you need God's wisdom. You have a spouse, you need God's wisdom. You interact with anyone, you need God's wisdom. Why? Because we live in this world and we need the wisdom of God. We're not to behave like the world behaves. We're not to respond as the world responds. No, we're to have the wisdom of God. And he says, let him ask of God. How often do we request wisdom? We find not only is there something to recognize, something to request, there's something to receive. I told you we'd get back to verse number 5, and I want you to notice it's such a beautiful verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then notice what the Bible says, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we begin to look here. The Bible says, giveth to all men liberally. So the one that asks will receive. The one who asks in faith, the one who asks with nothing wavering, believing that they need wisdom, believing that God has all wisdom, believing that God has the ability to give the wisdom. The Bible says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That word means bountifully or sufficiently. And I'm thankful that God gives wisdom in that manner, that he giveth to all men liberally. I'm thankful that our God is no respecter of persons. Amen? I'm thankful that it's all level ground at the cross. And the fact of the matter is that you can come to God this morning. This truth of James 1 and verse number 5 is not just for the spiritual leaders. It's not just for the pastors. It's for every child of God, that God will give to every man liberally. And then it says this, and upbraideth not. You know, he will not rebuke you for asking. Isn't that sweet? Our God is so gracious. He's so merciful. He loves us so much. He wants us to have his wisdom. And it says that not only would he give to all men liberally, but it says that he upbraideth not. He's not going to rebuke you. He's not going to be angry with you or irritated with you for asking wisdom. No, he's going to give liberally. Why? Because you're acknowledging your need for his wisdom. It's a beautiful truth of God's word. And it finishes up by saying, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. I believe the truth of James 1 and verse number 5. I believe this morning that I have personally experienced how God has answered this prayer in my life time and again, that God gives wisdom. But how does God give wisdom? We say that it's something to receive, and certainly it is. And I go and I pray and I seek the face of the Lord. God, would you give me wisdom? Can I tell you that it doesn't come from osmosis? It doesn't come from just kind of zing and you get wisdom. It'd be kind of nice if it worked that way, but it doesn't. God's wisdom. God's wisdom. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Search the scriptures. Amen? You begin to study and you begin to search and begin to understand that God's word, it's a lamp unto my feet, it's a light to my path. We understand that the entrance of God's words, it giveth light. We understand this morning that God's word is powerful, it's profitable. It has been given to us, it's been given to you, and you have a copy of God's word, and this is wisdom. And you know what God does? When you ask Him for wisdom, He will illumine the Scriptures to you. He will give you truth from His Word so that you could know how to deal with the circumstances that you face in life. You say, but there's not an answer for every single thing. There are principles within the Word of God that properly understood and properly applied will help us in every circumstance of life. What is wisdom? The right use or exercise of knowledge. It is the application of knowledge. And so I begin to take the principles of God's Word and how do these principles apply in this situation? And that's wisdom, and God gives that wisdom. He has given to us a Bible that is so precious and it's been preserved for us this morning. And I'm so very thankful that I have a Bible. Why? Because I need wisdom and you need wisdom. And where would we be if we didn't have a Bible? Could you imagine? Trying to go through life and not having a Bible? Trying to understand the things that are happening to you, the things that you're experiencing, and not having a Bible, trying to figure out how to raise your children, trying to figure out how to love your wife, trying to figure out how to please your Creator, and you don't have a Bible? Oh, God's Word is so precious. And God gives us a Bible. I've used this phrase often throughout the year, throughout the years. I've used this phrase, and it's the idea that we're to fill the well. Why do we read the Bible? Why? We're in a new year. Many of us have probably just started reading the Bible again on a Bible reading schedule or some sort of program that we might have. We're seeking to read through the Bible. And the Bible is like no other book. I have nearly 900 books in my library, but there's no book like this book. Not one like this book. There are books on my library, on the shelves of my library, that are books about the Bible, man's opinions about the Bible, and so on and so forth. But no book can replace the Bible. Amen? We're to compare Scripture with Scripture. We're students of the Word of God. And I have lots of books on my shelf. I have some books that I'm being very transparent with you this morning, and maybe if you have books at home, you'd be transparent with yourself as well, that I've started reading and I never finished. You know why? I couldn't handle it. It was just not a good book. Have you ever gotten a book that's just not a good book? Now, some of them I've gotten and they've been gifts to me and then I feel bad not reading them. But man, it's torture reading them because it's not really a good book. And so I'll try to do my best to get through it. And some of them I've just kind of labored to get through them. But I have some books that I've just not read. There are very few books in my library that I've read more than once. Very few. One I can remember that it's Tips on Teaching. I've given that book to a couple of folks in our church that are in some capacity of teaching, and I've said this to them, it's a book that's worthy of reading many times. Why? Because it's just super practical in helping yourself understand the process of teaching and how to be effective in teaching. I've read that book probably 3 times over the years. I can't tell you how many times I've read the Bible. I've never kept track. Through my Christian life, I've never kept track of how many times I read the Bible, but I know this, I get to the book of Revelation and I start over again. And I get to the book of Revelation and I start over again. And I get to the book of Revelation and I start over again. Why? Because I need God's Word. And you need God's Word. And when I talk about this idea of filling the well, when you have a problem in life, when you come to a place where I don't know what to do here, if you've not been reading the Bible, if you don't have the truth of God's Word in your heart, and you're going to open up the Bible and you're going to try to find an answer, the Bible has 1,189 chapters. It is a big book. Amen? None of us are ever going to become experts on every single passage in the Bible. The Bible's a big book. Somebody sent me a text last week. Hey, Pastor, I got a question about this text. I love it. But you know, oftentimes the texts that people have questions about are the texts that are not very familiar. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's perfectly fine. And so I'm like, hey, let me dig in. Let me look at that. Sometimes people ask questions. I was in a meeting, and people were asking questions. Man, I can give answers. Why? Because I've read the Bible. I've studied the Bible. I can give you some answers. But the reality is that if you're going to wait until the problem comes, and then you're going to try to dig... It's too late. I mean, can you still get wisdom? Sure you can. God can still lead you to it. But what I'm saying is that every day of our lives, we're in God's Word. And then when we say, God, I need wisdom, the Holy Spirit of God will remind you of verses of Scripture and passages of Scripture. I've sat in meetings, I've sat in counseling sessions where truly, I promise you this morning, I left my house after I made my coffee and I said, God, I don't know what to say. I have no idea how I can help these people. But I know you can. Sit in a meeting, and God just brings up a passage. It's God that gives it, it's not me, but it's because He uses His Word. He uses His Word. That's where wisdom is. And you know what the problem is sometimes for us is that we're not truly students of the Word. We're not the statistics, and I would hope our church doesn't follow the statistics that are out there where the statistics say that there's a large majority, a large percentage of believers that even go to church regularly that have never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in their entire Christian life. I hope that wouldn't be said of us, that we're in God's Word. I used this quote. I thought it was a great quote. I used it years ago. But the quote said this, that thumbprints in the Bible are more important than footprints on the moon. Let that sink in just for a moment. Thumbprints in the Bible, more important than footprints on the moon. Sometimes we get so excited about certain things, we say, no, we got to get God's wisdom. We got to know the mind of the Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Bible. Look over, if you will. We're going to see this illustrated this morning in the life of Solomon. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 3. We need wisdom. We need God. You're in 1 Kings chapter 3, and before we begin reading, I want to read a verse from Proverbs 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." In 1 Kings chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee." Now some of you say, man, I wish I was in that position. Can you imagine? Now, let me just help us kind of get where we are historically. Saul has been king, and he died, and David became the king, and David reigned, and David is now with the Lord, and now Solomon is going to reign. And Solomon has this huge task of leading the people of God. Do you know it's a huge task to lead anyone? Lead anyone. And we find here that God appears to him, and I understand this is Old Testament, and I understand that they don't have the whole canon of Scripture, and God's not going to appear to us the way that He did to Solomon, and I understand all of that, but I want you to see it illustrated here. God says, "Ask what I shall give thee," and Solomon said in verse number 6, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." You know what he was doing? He was acknowledging his lack of wisdom. Amen? He was acknowledging, he was recognizing, if any of you lack wisdom, he was acknowledging, I lack wisdom. God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And he says, "I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Did it truly mean that he didn't know how to go out of the door and come in? No, he doesn't know how to lead. He doesn't know what to do. He's got this huge task of leading the people of God. And it says in verse number 9, verse 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" You know what he does? He asks for wisdom. I don't know, but God, you said ask what I shall give thee, and Lord, I need wisdom. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and I want you to see this, and the speech, notice what it says, pleased the Lord. When you ask for wisdom, it pleases God. I mentioned a moment ago that He upbraideth not. He will not rebuke you for asking. I mentioned that it does not bother the Lord when we ask Him for wisdom. What bothers the Lord is if we do not ask Him for wisdom. It troubles Him when we don't ask for wisdom because He's offered it to us. And it says that the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, just for a moment, put yourself in the shoes of Solomon. You can ask God, the creator of the universe, for anything. Ask what I shall give thee. Now, if we didn't just read this passage, or if you weren't familiar with 1 Kings 3, what would you have asked for? I don't want you to say it out loud, but there's a lot of things going through your brain. The creator of the universe. Did Solomon know that he was the creator? Sure he did. Solomon knew who God was. He knew he was the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. He knew he was the one that was the creator. He knew all the things that he did. And God says, ask what I shall give thee. Wow. Anything. Wisdom. Wisdom. And it pleased the Lord. And the Bible says this in verse number 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and then notice what he says, and hast not asked for thyself a long life. That would have been something he could have asked for, but he didn't ask for a long life. Neither hast thou asked riches for thyself. Some of you might have had in your brain riches. Ask what I shall give thee. It'd be really nice to have X number of dollars. No, you didn't ask for wealth. You didn't ask for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. Lord, would you just deal with all those people and just... No, he didn't ask that. But has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, verse 12, I have done according to thy words. Lo, notice what God says. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. It says in verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among you, any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. In verse 16, the Bible says, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. Isn't this amazing, the context and how God puts this together right here? So now Solomon had this vision, this dream. God says, ask what I shall give thee. He says, I'm just a child. I don't know how to come in or go out or come in. He says that I need wisdom. And God says he was pleased. And God says, I've done according to thy words. I've given thee a wise and understanding heart. And then the Bible tells us about an event that happens in the life of Solomon. In verse 17, and the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And so the picture is given to us. There's these two ladies, and they each have a child. And the Bible says in verse number 18 that there are both, all four of them would be in that house. No strangers were there. Verse 19, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. I got nothing without God's wisdom. What do you do? What do you do? Here's what happened. There's one living child. It's my son. No, it's my son. How do you know? How do you figure it out? How do you discern? They're coming to you for an answer. You're the king. Aren't you thankful that Solomon asked for wisdom? You know when he asked for wisdom? Before he was in the situation. Right? He asked for wisdom before he was in the midst of the situation. It says here, as we continue reading, and the king said, verse number 24, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Now that, if I never had read 1 Kings chapter 3, that would never would be in my mindset of something to do. Right? How am I going to discern this? I don't know. How do they look? Do they, like, that's man's wisdom. Right? Let's try to determine. Let's try to look at all these features. Which one maybe, whatever. No, he says, get a sword. And we're going to divide the living child in two. And we're going to give half to you and half to you. He said, what is Solomon thinking about? God's wisdom. Because notice the Bible says in verse 26, then spake the woman, notice what it says, whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. So the woman whose the child was, she could not bear the thought of that child being killed. She would rather that the child live and with that other lady, that other woman, instead of herself. Amen? So what does Solomon do? He wasn't going to cut that child in two. Then the king answered, verse 27, and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. That's God's wisdom that was given to Solomon simply because he asked for it. Verse 28, notice what the Bible says in verse 28. In all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. Notice what it says. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. It was evidenced to those that were in the country, those that would have beheld what took place and what had transpired, that the wisdom of God is in that man. By the way, that's not to lift up Solomon, that's to lift up God. Because it's the wisdom of God that's in him. And how did he get the wisdom of God? He simply asked for it. And we find that as you consider the truth of this particular event in 1 Kings chapter 3, we see the principle that we're studying in James chapter number 1 illustrated here in this portion of Scripture. Look in chapter 4 of 1 Kings. Look in chapter 4. Look at verse 29. The Bible says this, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And so we find in verse number 29, again, the truth, the reference that God gave Solomon the wisdom. I need God's wisdom. And you need God's wisdom. No, I don't think that we're going to be in the same scenario that Solomon was in at the end of chapter number 3 and having some ladies argue about which baby is theirs. I don't think we're probably going to deal with that. But you're going to deal with something this afternoon. You're going to deal with something this week that you need God's wisdom. And I need God's wisdom. And God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Listen, it's not every man does that which is right in his own eyes. It's not leaning on our own understanding. It's not trying to be wise in our own eyes. No, it's having God's wisdom. And as God's people, we need God's wisdom. I'm thankful that I'm saved. And I'm thankful that I'm heaven bound. But at the moment of salvation, the reality is that we learn this, we understand this, we're living this, we're not immediately transported into His presence. He leaves us here and we live life. And yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen? And you say, I don't like that. It's Bible truth. And we need wisdom. And so as I traverse, as I go through, as a pilgrim, as a stranger, as I live on this earth until the Lord calls me home, until the rapture takes place, then I need God's wisdom, and you need God's wisdom. We don't have to go through life leaning on our own understanding. We don't have to go through life leaning on our own resources. It's not about I need to go meet with this professional in this particular. No, I need God's wisdom. You say, I have a problem with finances. I'm going to go see a financial counselor. Can you look at the Bible first? Why? Because the Bible deals with a lot of finances, principles. I'm having problems with my marriage. I'm going to go see a marriage counselor. I'm going to go see a fill in the blank. No. Can you look at the Bible first? Because God is the one that has instituted marriage. He's the one that designed marriage. I have children. I don't know what to do with my children. I'm going to take them to a psychologist, a psychiatrist. Can you please go to the Bible first? Why? Because we need God's wisdom. And here's the thing. It's available. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And it says that he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And this morning, I need wisdom. You need wisdom. We note it in 1 Kings 4 and verse 29 that the Bible says that God gave Solomon wisdom. Notice in verse number 31, there in chapter 4, it says this, for he was wiser than all men. Now, I want you to just pause there for just a moment. The psalmist talks about in Psalm 119 how he had more wisdom than his teachers. More understanding than his teachers. Can I encourage you this morning? It's not, when the Bible says that he was wiser than all men, that's a direct understanding that it's because God gave him wisdom. It wasn't the world's wisdom. You know what the world's going to tell you about your finances is different than what God's going to tell you about your finances. What the world's going to tell you about your marriage is different than what God's going to tell you about your marriage. What God's going to tell you about raising your children is different than what the world's going to tell you about raising your children. Amen? I'm only 45 years old, but I've learned those things in life. I've listened to what people said. I gone to this person, and here's what they told me to do. And I'm thinking, no, that's not. The Bible is where we go. I want God's wisdom. The world's going to offer you wisdom, quote unquote, worldly wisdom. But we have to have that discerning heart. We have to understand this morning. Listen, I hope that all of us, as I title the message, we lack wisdom. I hope that when we leave here this morning that every one of us would recognize that I lack wisdom. And that every one of us would recognize that our God has all wisdom. And it would lead us to making that request, God, I need your wisdom. And then we'd receive it. And by receiving it again, it's not going to be some Zam thing that happens. No, it's going to be because we're in his word. I said this to just somebody this past week. God's Spirit is never going to lead you contrary to God's Word. Amen? God's Spirit is never... The Spirit led me. No, you better make sure that you've got the Word of God, too, that's supporting that, because there are many deceiving spirits. Amen? And by the way, the Bible teaches us that we can deceive our own selves, that our heart, your heart, my heart is deceitful. Amen? And so I better make sure I got some Bible and I understand the principles of God's Word and I can apply them. Again, wisdom is that application of knowledge. This morning, do you recognize that you lack wisdom? That you need wisdom? You need God. I need God. I don't know what situation you might face. I was teaching the teens and I said this to them last week and it was a completely different message and from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and just some things that they could relate to in their own lives. And I said, this week, as you go through your life this week, I hope that you'll be able to identify times when you can apply this principle, this truth. And so how did I start Sunday school this morning? I said, was there a time this week that you were able to apply what we learned last week? And maybe it prevented you from doing something, or maybe after you did it, you said, oh yeah, I remember Pastor was teaching that on Sunday school last week. But maybe this week, God will let you face a situation that will remind you that you need His wisdom. Why? Because God wants us to live in dependence. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. He wants us to abide in Him. And He wants us to ask in faith with nothing wavering. Our God is able, and you need wisdom, and I need wisdom. We have decisions that we're facing as individuals, as families, and it's beyond our ability. Listen, I don't know what's on tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow in His hand. Amen, as the songwriter said. And so we need wisdom. And I'm so thankful this morning that we're not standing here as a group of people saying we need wisdom and we have no idea where to get it. No. We need wisdom, and we know exactly who to go to, the all-wise God. And He said, He promised that He will give it to us if we ask Him in faith. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for loving us. We thank You for the truth of Your Word, the power of Your Word. I thank You for the practical truth that we see in Your Word this morning. Every single one of us need wisdom. We need your wisdom, God. I don't know every circumstance that's being faced by every individual in this room this morning, but I know that they need your wisdom. God, I pray that you'd help us to be students of the Word, that we'd search the Scriptures, that we'd understand that the wisdom is going to come from your Word. Your Spirit will illumine the Scriptures to me, will guide me into all truth and help me to understand the principles that must be applied, that you would give us that wisdom. Father, I pray that this morning we'd humble ourselves. Pride will keep us from acknowledging our need for wisdom. Pride will keep us from asking thee for wisdom. God, help us to humble ourselves and help us to come before your throne with boldness asking for wisdom. God, if there's one that's not sure of heaven, I pray that today they would understand that they need to be saved. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That before this service is over, we'd have an opportunity to take a Bible and show them how they could know for sure that heaven is their home. I pray that in this moment of invitation that you would work in hearts. Lord, help us to respond. We've been so patient to receive your word this morning. And now, Lord, as we have an opportunity to respond, would you help us to be doers? We'll give you the glory for all that's done, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?